Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 live from the Houston Methodist Training Center for Training Camp 2025, day two. Going out here. John Lopez, how you living, bro?
Man, I'm living good. We got another beautiful day out here, and not as hot. Got a nice little breeze working. They were active early, right at 9 o'clock. So it was it can't get better. We got the fans blowing on us. This is a great day. Got the shade. Can't ask for more, man.
How quickly before people get sick of us just talking about weather and conditions?
Oh, they care about us. They care about
this. No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. Yeah. I will say, though, I did learn something as I think this is a new – not I think. This is a new experience for me being out here at training camp, so I'm trying to take everyone along with it as much as you actually care about hearing it. Let me know, 713-572-4610, which is the number to text, or the MoCarum Injury Lawyer live streams.
You've got to keep a very delicate balance when you're out here. And I'm not just talking about us, fans too.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to get caught up in conversations and then you miss something good on the field.
Very true.
You know what I mean? So I was chatting with someone, who was it? I forget. And all of a sudden, hey, did you see that? I said, no. I did not see that. What happened? So
that's the beauty of standing next to everybody. Is that if you miss something, you can get filled in pretty quickly. Yeah. I did realize, as you might be able to see on the MoCarum Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, or the Twitch chat, 610 Houston, that I am not wearing a hat. I've decided to go like no hat. I don't typically, I'm not a huge hat guy generally, and I'm like, it's been nice enough, knock on wood, to this point where the hat for me has not been a necessity. However, the secondary use of a hat, I think, has come up for me, which is sweat prevention.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
I've been getting sweat in my eyes, and that's how I'm missing some of these things some of this time. It's just that sweat that just kind of drizzles from the top of your forehead down into your eyes. That's been getting me every once in a while.
But so, you can rock the bucket hat pretty good.
I think I can, but yeah. I feel like you got to get the big one. Like the kind of fashion buckets that don't really have the big brim don't seem to be very useful. But with that being said, let's get going on another day of training camp. And another day would means another opportunity for some observations. You want to get into some passing thoughts?
Let's do it, Figgy. Let's do it. All right, let's give our listeners what we're seeing so far. By the way, they're still on the field. We are going 11 on 11 right now. So some of these passing thoughts may be, updated as we're speaking right here. But let's start with the who's here, who's not. That's always of note. And I have a question for you, Reggie and Figgy. Are we all of a sudden on Christian Harris watch every day?
What do you mean, all of a sudden?
Well, that's true. That's true, but we all – well, I don't know about you guys, but I thought he would be back and going. But day two, Christian Harris watching from the side, not on the PUP list, not on the what's the other list called?
The non-football
injury list.
Well, we knew it wasn't going to be – it wasn't a non-football injury.
Yeah, so Christian Harris – I guess we can call it the Christian Harris watch now. It's happening?
Certainly. And today it was a – street closed.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Harris.
Just watching from the sideline.
Yeah, this is really dicey. And it makes sense as to why Nick Caserio seemingly had an outlook that would point to the idea of if and when he can get there, that's cool. But otherwise, we are operating as such in such a way. And of course, these are my words, not his, but seeming the impression that I got from him that they're gonna feel comfortable with the idea of Azeez Al-Shaair, who we'll talk to a little bit later.
Yeah.
And then Henry To'oto'o and EJ Speed, and I imagine Nick Neiman. I feel like those are guys that they feel comfortable with as a linebacking core going into the season.
Yeah, and I'm starting to worry. I mean, just me, my words, like you said. That it's just something that's just going to continue to linger. But anyway, another passing thought for you guys here. I'm really intrigued. We talked yesterday about how the first team is taking more reps than in recent years, and it probably is an indicator of just what they're doing in terms of installing the offense, et cetera. Today, I don't know if you noticed this, but the first solid 8 to 10 minutes, the quarterback specifically – CJ Stroud were working on progressions. You know, they were doing their dropbacks and not even really looking at to throw the ball. They were just kind of going, okay, this is what you do here, this is what I want to do. But the interesting thing about that, the key thing about that, as much as that's coached, that's not brought from the sideline. You know, that's the quarterbacks making those progressions, which is obviously feeding into having more control of the offense, which By the way, we'll hear C.J. Stroud talking about that as well today.
And that's the first offensive period that you're talking about, the first offensive walkthrough, not the install period. But I think what that points to is everything's the install period at this point for the Texans. It makes sense offensively. You're bringing in Nick Caley, and it's very different than last year where there is a familiarity. The offense is already in. Now you're trying to make strides. You're trying to make changes. This is an entirely new offense, and at that, an offense that seems like there's a big buffet of options that they want to choose from and maybe whittle it down later. So it would make sense that they're going to go hard really about that early, making sure that they can see all the things that maybe work for them, that don't work for them, and as long as you're doing them and executing them to the highest of your ability, you can give yourself an idea of what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Offensive line update. Again, this is something we'll be talking about all week long, all season, preseason long. Blake Fisher, all of a sudden, a right tackle today. They're keeping us guessing a little bit. Not a lot. It was more of a rotation. Heck, Blake Thomas got some reps with the first
group. Zach Thomas.
Zach Thomas got some reps with the first group as well. But it is interesting to note that when Blake Fisher was at right tackle, Ursary was at left tackle.
Correct. So that first group that came out in the walkthrough, as we're tracking this and still not knowing exactly how much weight to place behind it, Ariante Ursary at left tackle, Lakin Tomlinson again at left guard, Jake Andrews as the first guy at center this time around, Titus again at right guard, and then, as you mentioned, Blake Fisher at right tackle to start.
So we'll keep an update on that. But Ursary getting some reps with the left tackle as well. A little bit of a side note here, but it is interesting because I honestly do not know how C.J. Stroud keeps up with all the different handshakes he does with players. Today, I noticed him do two specific, and they're all unique. They're all different. I saw him do two with coaches. So now he's adding coaches to his repertoire. I mean, so on top of learning the entire offense and the checks and the reads and the blocking assignments, he's got, 12 different handshakes? 10, 12? And now he's adding coaches to it? I guess, I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah, that's the responsibility.
I don't know how he does it.
That's the responsibility of being the big man on top, right? Like, when you're the quarterback, you foster those relationships. I much prefer these things as signs of the relationships that he has, even with the coaching staff, and the way, you know, that hopefully that fosters open and honest lines of communication, as opposed to, you know, the alternative, which is a guy who just kind of takes what it's had and operates it almost like what you would say stereotypically a 9-to-5 is. Come in, do your work, leave. It feels like there's a level of investment, obviously, that he has, but just all the way around with this team, I think, has been very intriguing.
Yeah. Another interesting note that I picked up on in a later drill so far. Again, they're going on 11-on-11. I think we just had our first turnover of training camp, but I couldn't tell if it was a fumble or an interception because it's two fields away from us. I will get that information for you. But big tell on the offensive line today. On the O-line drills, it was very determined, very deliberate. The coaches were telling them who to block. Like, they had the scout team out there, and they were counting out and telling them who to block, not what area to block. And that to me was like, okay, it is, you know, they talked about multiple sets, and they're going to try bring some things in from the Rams on this offense and the Patriots from this offense. But this run game, Reggie, this run game is going to be good old-fashioned. I got that guy. You got that guy.
Yeah, I mean, and like I mentioned, and if it tracked again today when you talk about walkthrough, a lot of kind of duo-type situations, as you mentioned, gap scheme-type situations. I think that really and truly the run has been emphasized. That was evidenced by yesterday during, like, more of the 11-on-11. There was a lot of run game featured as opposed to, like, I mean, they barely passed until late in practice, and it tracks. Nick Caley is more of a run focused guy. Not saying that that's the entirety of what he is, but he's more of that. And I think if you're getting to an abstract place where, and of course this is not a true hypothetical that you have to live with, or, you know, ultimatum of sorts,
right,
but if you had to take one between having a robust passing game to start or having a robust running game to start, I think in football you want to be able to run the football. If you can run the football consistently, you don't necessarily have to throw. Now, of course, again, this is a false dichotomy. I want you to be able to eventually throw the football at a high rate as well, but I think that is the place that is right to start to put the foundation, because this team in particular, but football teams in general, need to be able to tote the rock.
Yes, absolutely. And as we're speaking, I said we'd be giving some updates on this 11-11. Blake Fisher started with the first group again at right tackle. and there was a nice little run by Nick Chubb, but it was negated by a false start by Blake Fisher. We don't need that, big fella. I know this, that's what training camp is for, but Blake Fisher had a false.
Hey, Fig.
Figgy's in the house. So, yeah, you know, and the thing is with that, two things. Nick Chubb, you know, obviously I still think he looks pretty dang good. We'll find out. It's a long preseason. But Blake Fisher, the margin for error for him is almost zero, you know?
I mean, it's going to be tough. And we know that that's the whole idea of this camp is you come out with the level of competition. A lot of different dudes getting out here that are trying to earn that spot. And one of those guys hasn't even gotten a chance to get out here. Mm-hmm. We were actually chatting a little bit earlier about Trent Brown, who was, you know, he's still not out there actually working just yet. But that's another guy that once he gets out there, that is a viable option. And especially he is a professional. You know that he does his job. As he is intended to do it, which is going to be another person that pushes him. So he's going to need to make sure that he works that out of his system very quickly, especially because with this team, the false starts hit a little bit harder with the previous season. Yeah, they're magnified after last year.
Back to C.J. Stroud, a couple things that we've noticed out here, passing thoughts, if you will. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, I was watching every snap just like you were. I did not see the ball hit the ground once, not once. That's that Stroud accuracy. It's the ability to be in tune with his wide receivers. Some of them were not with defenders, but nevertheless, the ball came out. The ball hit him in the hands. His accuracy seems to be on point.
Yeah, I mean, CJ all looks. I mean, sometimes I could say this as a pejorative, so I want to be careful. He looks the part right now. Mm-hmm. He's looking like what you want CJ to look like very early. So I'm cool.
Yesterday, you mentioned John Mechie. As like kind of,
I'm just going to. Can I mea culpa? Can I go ahead and PSA? Don't do as I say or as I do in this moment because I'm falling for the Mechie thing again. Yes. I'm watching individuals earlier, and I'm like,
that's where I was going.
Okay,
the
please.
Little out and up. I mean, the little up and out.
Yeah,
yeah. He looked sharp on that.
Yeah,
ball was right there. Did it, and so I'm not saying I'm falling for it, but I could see where you're coming from because Mechie is the big tease. Here's another one, though.
But before you move forward, one of the things that is worth noting, especially through yesterday's practice into today's, Justin Watson is obviously mm-hmm. that wide receiver, veteran wide receiver. D'Amico Ryan spoke pretty highly of him early on in the offseason once they had got him signed up. He is on the first team of the special teams right now. Now, of course, again, it's training camp. Things move up and down. But it stands to reason that he will not be usurped in that because he is a heady guy who, you know, he works hard. He applies himself very well. And if you are a special teamer, mm-hmm. that is a great way to make a roster. And as we are starting to preliminarily look at the wide receiver room, is that one of the spots that gets taken? And as you start doing the math there, Nico Collins and Christian Kirk are absolutes, right?
Yeah.
Jaden Higgins, absolute. Jalen Noel, probably going to be there. That's four. If you add a Justin Watson, are you pretty much running up the group then?
Yeah.
Before we even get to the idea of me falling for the Mechie or Xavier Hutchinson, who they obviously as a team mm-hmm. like him just in general, are you getting to a place where those guys are really squeezed before we even get going really deep in training camp?
I don't think you're wrong. You mentioned Jalen Noel. You tell me because I drafted him. Jalen Noel just had, about 5 minutes ago, a beautiful, probably 45-50-yard catch from C.J. Stroud. No, excuse me, from Davis Mills. Would have been a touchdown. It was defended. You know, this was 11-on-11, so he created some separation. He made a great grab and scored. I'm not going to give myself a pet cat point, but let's see what people say about him after practice. Practice is still going on right now doing special teams punt right now, but Jalen Noel, he's got a little juice. I know that's a trite cliche word, but he does seem to have something going on.
It's a trite cliche time of year. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Y'all going to have to give us a little bit of leeway there. But, no, I think you're right. He does have some juice. I mean, that's kind of the type of player that you imagine him to be, a juice bringer of sorts. The interesting thing for me with Noel is not even him as a wide receiver. I think that's going to be one of those things that is more supplementary going forward, or at least in this rookie season of mm-hmm. his. The idea of him as a potential returner is, I think, where his primary value is to this team early. And I was, you know, talking to some folks about special teams yesterday, and I know that he kind of dropped one.
Yeah.
And Braxton Berrios, mm-hmm. who obviously is a consummate return man, smooth return of punts. I know that John Harris and his Harris hits, which obviously is always a necessity this time of year, was mentioning that Berrios looks really, really good when it comes to returning, which, again, he is. That is one of the primary values that he has. I'm wondering if Noel can be a type of returner that is automatic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that might be interesting on whether Berrios makes it. But if he's not automatic, I don't think that you can go in into a season and think, we're going to let him figure this out, because I don't know that you want another Steven Sims season, which, again, all due respect to Steven Sims. But then once you got to some places where it got a little dicey and now you have to bring Robert Woods in and have Damian Pierce return stuff and at times bring Tank up to return punts, I think they much prefer going into a season knowing that they have a guy that can handle all of it. And that might be the opening for Braxton Berrios to make a roster.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Ones versus ones. I think this is the first time we've seen that going on field two right now. I'll keep you up to date as we get information on this. This is an interesting one. I'm wondering what you and Figgy are thinking about this. I haven't seen this in recent years. I'm sure it's happened before, but I haven't seen this in recent years. Did you notice we have three numbers battles going on simultaneously? Three numbers battles. They very rarely have duplicate numbers in the NFL. But number 22 on offense is Jawar Jordan. Number 22 on defense, Arthur Maulette.
Okay.
Who wins that number battle? How does that play out? Somebody's going to have to change, because if they both make the squad.
I hate to be a hater just to start here. First and foremost, I appreciate that look that came over from our engineer. I don't mean to snitch on you, but sorry that happened. Mm-hmm. Jawar Jordan, that feels like the most uphill of uphill battles that I've ever seen. Like, with all due respect to him, that feels like, hey, buddy, we're working for practice squad. Again, I say that with as much respect as I can muster.
Yeah.
I don't know if Arthur Maulette ultimately makes it, but I think he ends up being interesting as an insurance policy for Jimmy Ward, because Jimmy Ward is the immediate stand-in for the Petrie kind of role. Outside of that, do you have a stand-in for the Petrie role outside of, like, Arthur Maulette, who's played a lot of slot or whatever? I think that might be – he has more value of those two, I think. And, again, I don't think that there's any guarantee that either of them particularly make the roster.
A little bit of an update here. We're going to talk to Aziz about this. He's going to be joining us right off the field. They're putting some pressure. They're putting some pressure on C.J. Stroud in the 11-on-11, but that's to be expected. Number 27 offense, Woody Marks. Number 27 defense, Miles Bryant. Now, that's a battle.
That one is
interesting.
Now,
that's a battle.
Woody Marks, we know what that situation is with running back. He's really in there, but I imagine that he has a leg up being a relatively moderate to high kind of draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Bryant is interesting because, again,
he's on the squad.
He's a depth secondary player, but there's a lot of guys in that room that can make some shake. So I don't know. We'll see what that looks like.
Oh, Lord. Looks like it's a good defense day. Just had a turnover as well. We'll keep you updated on that. 72 offense, Jalen Thomas. 72 defense, Tommy Togiai.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I'm going to go with Togiai. As a depth defensive tackle, who honestly, when he stepped in, he was serviceable last year. He was very serviceable.
Very serviceable. That might have been C.J. Gardner-Johnson pick. I'll find out on that for sure. A couple of other things here as we're going passing thoughts. The Nick Caley energy is real. I mean, very, very real. I don't know what it means. Sometimes people, feed into that and feed off of that. Sometimes they don't. But he is Mr. Energy.
I mean, I appreciate getting delivered a good bill of goods there that falls in line with what we were promised. So, at the very least, it's fun for us out here, and a positive energy always looks good out here at training camp. Day two of Houston, Texas training camp. Those are some passing thoughts from the early portions of practice here at the Houston Methodist Training Center as Texans training camp rolls on. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, you mentioned hearing from Nico. You mentioned hearing from CJ. Let's hear and break down some of the things that we learned from yesterday's practice. We will do that next on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice, man. We're at the Houston Methodist Training Center for Texans training camp 2025. Day two. It's been a fun one already thus far. Appreciate you hanging with us here on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. You made the mention of it, and it seems like it's continuing to track here, John. It's been a defense day thus far.
Defense, defense, defense. And obviously you always go to the point of you know, well, is the defense that good or is the offense struggling? I think it's pretty safe to say the defense is that good. They always have an advantage early on. The defense has not changed from last season. The offense has. And this secondary, boy, whew. If you want an early tease, an early indicator of all the things that we've been talking about in the offseason, I mean, not to say the offense hasn't had its moments, but the defense has had a lot of moments.
Yeah, but I mean, offense has not been without moments.
Right.
A couple of good throws, and I just a second ago, a really nice Jawar Jordan run that he breaks, which is well blocked. I want to make that note. This isn't just a Jawar Jordan making a play. Well blocked play up the left side allows him to go. So yeah, no, there's some good things happening on both sides of the football, but definitely leans towards the defense at this stage. Appreciate you rocking with us. We were talking about this yesterday. We got to hear from a lot of the major players. Today we'll get to talk to Azeez Al-Shaair, a major player in his own right. But on the offensive side, the part that gives us a lot of curiosity, the part that we're really intrigued to learn about, and of course CJ Stroud at the helm of it all talked. And so I kind of wanted to get to some of this audio from CJ. And let's start here with cut four, because I thought this was very interesting getting a feel from C.J. Stroud, the play caller for the offense.
Yeah, I mean, this is more of a, you know, quarterback's offense where, you know, you're IDing, you're calling the shots, you're switching protections if you need. And it's really like just me in the center. So that's J-Pat or Juice. Just, you know, got to have good communication with those guys and, you know, relay to everybody else what's going on. So, you know, Nick is doing a great job teaching us stats. So is Jerry and Gerard. So, it's a lot more ownership.
Look, man, he wanted it. He's got it. We're watching it happening right in front of our eyes, literally. I did think that this was something that, I enjoy the fact that he is truly embracing this. We talked earlier about on the passing thoughts, you know, how they're going through the progressions, how they're getting more reps, and This is big for C.J. Stroud. And not only that, Reggie, but I think, you know, he doesn't want excuses. He wants that responsibility, and he's got it. I like that in my quarterback.
No, for sure, certainly. In fact, to that point, the second question I wanted to play here was C.J. Stroud being asked, with having more ownership now, does it then grow your role as a leader, or how does it grow your role as a leader?
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to grow there. I think every year, you know, as a leadership role, I can learn a little more. I think that gives me another edge where, you know, guys, you know, if you change a player or do something good, guys are like, okay, we can trust this guy. So that definitely helps leadership.
Again, you know, when you talk and you hear C.J. Stroud, you know, talking about the leadership and the ownership and all that, I just feel like it also speaks, and we try to be careful about bashing on last year. I think it reflects.
Do we?
I think it reflects just the total frustration he had last year. Like it's almost like a breath of fresh air, you know, that you can sense that he's feeling. You know?
No, for sure. I mean, it's an entirely different space, and I think what's kind of interesting to me is how matter-of-factly he's talking about it, as if to say, like, no, I've gotten comfortable with this. This is the new world order, and this is just how we're operating. And I appreciate that, right? Like, it is no longer novel to him. This space that he's in, he's like, let's go do it. And to that end, now the interesting portion of this is, as he is learning, we see Nick Caserio taking a nice jog off the field in front of our broadcast position. But as C.J. Stroud,
he's got work to do, man.
Is you know, learning this and getting a feel for this, one of the things that we heard was that, you know, he was taking a look at like 03 early aughts Tom Brady, because, you know, to take a hold of what an early portion or early years of working in this in a similar offense, I should say, looks like. And so this was C.J. Stroud talking about what he's learned from kind of that vintage Tom Brady stuff that he's had an opportunity to look at.
Go ahead.
I mean, those clips are always great to watch, you know, somebody do it and at such a high level, you know, just he's not like physically, you know, imposing as well, but he just mentally, you know, whooping guys, playing and play out. So that's something that I definitely, you know, want to get to that. But like you said, they started back in 2000, 2001, 2003. So, like, it's been a long time. It's been the same offense. So this is my first year. It's not going to be what I watch on film yet, but, you know, I, you know, am sure that one day it will. And I haven't talked to him, but I'm sure if he did, he would have some advice.
You know what that made me think of? Is he going to have the – the plays on his wrist, you know, the little flip
wristband.
He really wants it. He's getting it. And I think they're bringing him along slowly. He talked about it's not an overnight thing. I could see where they, they give him ownership, but there's also kind of a safety net there, you know, on his wrist.
That's what I I really wanted is that, because we've talked about it, right? First time play caller, first time quarterback within this kind of system.
Yeah.
There is opportunity for difficulty to arise. I mean, again, you're putting a lot on the play of this quarterback, and so there's a lot of places where that's a singular fail point of sorts, where you're getting up to the line, and not only are you taking in the robust amount of kind of plays and offense that I think they're going to have early on,
mm-hmm.
but then you're also now having to do something that he was not allowed or just did not have the opportunity, whatever way you want to put that, to do in previous years, which has come up and diagnosed. And he's talked about taking on not just the responsibility of, you know, the plays, but then also protection. There's a lot there for him to hold on to. So I would actually be very open to the idea of take some things and give him a little bit of a ramp up as well.
No, I want
within
it.
This while he's gaining more of that those reins.
It's not
a
crutch.
Important, but
it's a tool. You know, it's a tool to be able to master this. And I don't even know. I'll let you know if I see it at one of these practices. But I like that. I like the ownership. And the thing I like the most from C.J. Stroud right now is embracing it. Like, he wants the responsibility. That's what your quarterback. That's what you want in your quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it was appreciated. I really appreciated hearing from C.J. Stroud. And, like, early on, it was, I mean, pretty quick for him. I think I didn't take a ton away from it as we get a nice salute from the man himself.
Man, we got a We're Not Worthy. We got a We're Not Worthy
from Cal
McNair. How about that?
And Hannah McNair stopping by.
Just so you know, you are worthy.
Very. Oh, and it seems like Hannah wants to jump on and No? Okay, I was going to say, I was like, if she want to salute the listenership here. Cal McNair is going to grace us, give us a little bit of time. He is the owner of your Houston
Boy,
Texans.
Boy, Omar is going to be so mad at
he
us.
He probably, quite possibly. But,
is Omar looking? I have to get off if Omar's looking.
Omar is going to be so mad at us.
We'll steal a minute or two from the man himself. The way I'll justify it is when the owner comes to talk to you, I feel like you can't say no. Cal, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
Doing quite well. Like, what for you have you noticed in training camp here today, being out here on the grounds?
I've noticed that you guys have the best spot on the whole place with the air conditioner and shade and trade. I mean, we've really upgraded you guys. So
this is a great spot. Look, we are unofficially talking to you right now, so we're not going to get into too many nuts and bolts, but just get a good feel for things. Is this your first day out? I was looking for you yesterday.
I was out yesterday.
You were out yesterday. Yeah. Okay, I didn't see you. Obviously, you know, Joanna's gonna run the show here and get everything taken care of. What are your takeaways early on, just on the feel for the team? I'll leave it very generic.
It's early. It's hard to tell a whole lot. You just see a lot of energy from the guys. And a lot of good execution very early, which is fun to see. There's a lot of talent. You see a lot of talent out there. So it's a work in process. I call it a storybook where you have a beginning, introductory chapters, and you'll have 18, 19, 20 chapters to work through our season this year. And this is just the introductory paragraphs.
A couple of non-football things, because I'm sure we'll talk to you football-related with Omar's approval, and I don't want to get my hands slapped. but new layout. New, somewhat of a new layout here. I'm guessing that's with the fans in mind?
Yeah, we're always looking to improve the experience for the fans. We're really excited to have them out on our first open practice Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So come early. I'll be here early to greet everyone and may have a little bit of something to say, but can't give away anything too much. Or Omar,
are you
going to
cook hamburgers this year?
Hamburgers are on the menu.
Yeah, yeah, baby, we got late. Hamburgers on the menu,
and you're invited.
You're darn right, I'm invited. I'll be there. Listen, so we don't want to keep you, Reggie. I don't know if you have anything else.
No. I was exactly going to ask you what you wanted to tell the fans for Saturday, but you got right to it.
Yeah,
I haven't met this guy before.
Yeah, we
so
haven't
I'm
officially
glad,
made.
I'm
yeah.
Glad to see you and meet you officially, and
you're gonna love
look
it.
Forward to seeing y'all more.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Enjoy the day, fine sir. Tell Hannah hello for us, and you guys have a good one.
Y'all have a great one. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Calvin Nair out here on the grounds at the Houston Methodist Training Center. I mean, you never know what can happen out here when you're covering.
Now Cal's
Texans
nervous.
Training
now
camp.
Cal's nervous about Omar.
That's right. Okay, very good. Oh, man. What were we talking about? Like, Cal and Hannah were just like, no, we need to make sure that we speak to the fans.
Yeah.
Omar coming.
That's right.
You got to keep your head on a swivel when you have the unofficial – interviews. But no, he's a good dude. Boy, you talk about someone who's changed. Not to get like into a topic about Cal McNair, just a little another little passing thought here. I don't know anybody in Houston football history that has changed their own narrative more than Cal and Hannah McNair, especially Cal. The guy truly, and we've talked to him about this in the past, wasn't even wanting to talk to anyone for a long stretch, and now he's everywhere, he's accessible, fans love him.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, he's also been a steward of quite a revival, what's happened with the Texans here. As he mentioned, Saturday is the first open practice. I don't know if you have an opportunity to find a ticket somewhere, because it's been sold out since damn near when it opened up. And it's going to be fun out here. And what a time, rather, just to be a Houston sports fan, but particularly a Texans fan. This is quite a level of excitement going into a season. I don't know, when's the last time that you felt this particular excitement going in?
Well, especially after what we saw from the defense just a little bit. Another little programming note here, and I'll say it again, as much for Figgy as anyone, practice is over, so keep your head on a swivel for Aziz Alshire.
Yeah, I might want a break right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to do. You're listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I imagine we might have Aziz Alshire. If not, we'll get to the question of the day. But no matter what, you want to keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston Texans Training Camp 2025. We are on the watch for Aziz Alshire, where we should be sitting down with the defensive signal caller in any time now, so we'll keep our head on the swivel. Until we get there, let's get to our question of the day. It is that time of the day, and so with that, 713-572-4610, let us know, what is a memorable false alarm for you? Because it does seem like that might be what's happening with the New York Jets at their training camp right now up there. As Justin Fields, earlier today, we got information, it was a Shefty bomb of sorts.
Yeah.
Where it was like, hey, Justin Fields has been carted off the field.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh boy, what a nasty place for the New York Jets to be, because that was already a quarterback signing that they were doing in such a way where they're like, all right, he's solid, but we're just kind of going to bide our time, maybe try and do something for next year. And then very early, not even late into training camp, very early, it was looking like, oh man, they might have
carted off.
Carted off sounds like something incredibly serious.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn, obviously well known around here, the now new head coach of the Jets, and his availability after practice made it known that it is a toe injury. That could still mean something, but it does feel like...
But they have said it's not going to be... It doesn't look like it's a serious...
Good. Yeah. So, I mean, look, that does feel like we're in very much... big false alarm there, because I started looking at free agent quarterbacks. Do you know who the free agents are right now?
I don't think
that
I
are out
want
there?
To.
All right. How does a Carson Wentz sound to you?
Not great. Not great.
Teddy Bridgewater?
Again, not great.
What about a C.J. Beathard?
Yeah. C.J. Beathard?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Jeff Driskel?
Yeah. Well, you know what? False alarm.
False alarm. False alarm.
Yeah.
And so I was like, we've all had that in our lives, a false alarm moment. So 713-572-4610. What is a memorable false alarm moment for you?
Okay, so a couple immediately came to mind, and one of them was me being very, very stupid as a teenager. So
aren't we all?
Do as I say, not as I did. So cut class. When I was a senior in high school, so I was probably 17 years old, I think we bought a couple of six packs of Miller. I think we bought. I remember it vividly because you'll see why in a minute. So we go to Almas Park, a little park there near the high school, and lo and behold, we're just sitting there in a 1976 Mercury Monarch, drinking beer. Park ranger pulls up behind us. And this is a testament to what times used to be as opposed to now. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to jail. Park ranger comes to the window, and you know, we were just sitting there drinking beer, and he goes, hello boys, you mind pouring all that beer out and moving right along?
Oh, he gave you a... He was nice.
He just made us pour it all out and go back to school.
He was not... You were so close.
Dude, I was so close. I was so close. What's your false alarm?
For me, I mean, I feel like we've all been in this place. The one that immediately came to mind was particularly egregious because I had recently gotten my car, so I got a new one. And I was going triple digits. Mm-hmm. I was going triple digits, and I had a accompaniment down the highway.
Yeah.
And I saw, you were talking about whoop whoop, I saw them flashing lights. And I was like, oh, goodness, here we go.
Yeah.
You going that fast, it's yeah. you're going to spend a good amount of money. They I wasn't the one they got.
Oh, wow.
And I very quickly started putting a governor on the way that I was driving in these streets. So yeah, that one was very much a false alarm moment for me, as there's no false alarm here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, because sitting down right now in our guest seat is the signal caller for the defense, number zero on your program, number one in your heart. His name is Aziz Al-Shaair. What's happening, my man?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Hey, man, we are having an absolute blast. My name is Reginald Atatula. I know you're like, who is this fresh face? Because this is my first time at Houston, Texas training camp. And so one of the things that has been really interesting. Thank you. I appreciate it. One of the things I've been very interested in is like the level of advice that you have for new guys to camp. Like what maybe did you have, were you given, or what do you maybe tell a new guy to camp as a level of advice that's been helpful for you or helpful for them?
Man, I would say it's hot. It's really, really hot. Especially during training camp, man. You know, we running around all day. Even if you're on the sideline, I've seen people who just in the stands end up passing out, literally. Like, so, I mean, it's hot, man. So make sure you wear the right clothes, man. Make sure you wear the right clothes. You know, D'Amico, he always tells us, ain't no sweatpants and hoodies. Don't come out here with no hoodie, man. You're going to be on the stretcher.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's probably the first advice I would say. And then from a player standpoint, man, it's fast, man. It's fast. This is my seventh season now. Been doing
oh,
this.
No.
Look, see?
Oh, no.
Look, see? There you go right there. Nice. 7 years, man, with this man right here. So, you know, it's been, man.
Watch your P's and Q's.
Man, time go by so fast. So, I mean, I just tell the young guys to enjoy it, embrace it, be grateful every day. You know, D'Amico talks about the bridge that we got to walk across, calls it the gratitude bridge. Just be grateful to be out here, man. And the more years I play, the faster it goes by. You just see, you know, the years go. So I'm just grateful.
When you do cross that gratitude bridge, like, what immediately comes to mind for you? Because I imagine you're visualizing any time.
Man, just a little angry little rookie. Undrafted rookie in San Francisco, torn ACL, walking out there with Dre Greenlaw. We just trying to figure out how to play football. D'Amico Ryan's yelling at us and telling us, like you just said just now, did you make any plays today? he used to have a rule with us, me and Dre Greenlaw, when we were rookies. He said, if you ain't make a play, you can't smile.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, what? you catch you laughing. He's like, what you laughing for? You ain't make no play. So, you know, I just think about stuff like that, man, just being grateful for how far I've come and still doing it, man. I'm grateful for that.
But you did make a play today, right?
Hey, man, I made some plays.
There you
man.
Go.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I ain't make as many as Jalen today, but, you know, I made some.
Yeah, we saw that. And D'Amico Ryans was in a very good move, stopped by to give you a couple of words of whatever criticism, fun. He was having some fun, but he was smiling, and he was smiling because the defense looked good today, man.
So
I know you go full board, no pads, but you can tell some things. Could you tell some things today about this defense? There were some plays out there.
Yeah, man. I think it's just back and forth. You know, this is iron sharpening iron is what D'Amico always tells us, and we got to practice that every day. So I think it's the NFL. You know, I've been in the league for 7 years, and I've probably been a part of like maybe 5 total blowouts. Mm-hmm. So like me and CJ and EJ were talking about this yesterday. It's like it's the NFL. It's the best of the best. It's no higher than this. This is the Jeff Bezos and, you know, Elon Musk of the world in our profession in one place. So you really gotta bring your best every day. So it was a good day for sure.
You talk about, you know, the bridge. We had Will Anderson here yesterday. He was talking about the puzzle pieces. I think D'Amico calls it the
put the ring on a bull
or something like that, or bull on the ring, whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
A lot of coaches, when they have these little catchphrases and you know, things that they try to focus on, it's kind of an eye roll for players. It doesn't seem like it's ever an eye roll when D'Amico says it. Like, it's sincerely from his heart. Does that make it resonate a little more?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think especially, you know, because, you know, everybody's knows that type of culture and what that looks like. You know, when you talk about the eye rolls and stuff like that. But when you talk about like the culture that we've been building and that the foundation that we have, you know, over the last 3 years that he's been here, that's not the type of guys that we have, you know. And if you're a guy, you coming in here eye rolling, you know, it's day one of training camp. Like, what are we doing?
You're in trouble.
So it's going to be a long year for you. You probably won't make it out. So it's definitely something that you buy into and believe wholeheartedly. And I think every day you have to go work to get that. You know, you talk about all these goals and stuff, but at the end of the day, you got to put one foot in front of the other and actually do the work. And that's the part that nobody actually likes to do. Everybody would love to play in the NFL, but nobody would love to come to training camp for a whole
sure.
month. So
yeah.
And speaking of doing the work, I mean, you had a great day defensively today. D'Amico praised the signal callers, which obviously would include you, yesterday for how clean and efficient the operation was. What goes into that efficiency for you from your perspective as a middle of the field, handling everything on the defense?
Just being loud, concise, clear, kind of keeping everybody composed and calm. Just being decisive. I think a lot of times there's different stuff that'll happen. I'm a human being. I don't do everything right, just like anybody in the world. So, but I think when you're decisive and you just make one call and everybody's doing the same thing, as long as we're on the same page, we can figure it out. But when you got guys who are unsure and you're like, I don't know if I should make this check or not, yeah. And then you half of them heard it, half of them didn't. Now we're not on the same page. Now we don't have a defense where we're playing man and zone and that, we got to play one call. So my biggest thing is just making sure we're all on the same page and everybody is calm and composed.
You've joined us here in the past last year, and sure. Everybody knows your story, overcoming so much, such an incredible story of perseverance. And so I want to go back to last year, because one thing that bothered me the most, and I want to get your perspective because I know it bothered you, is not just everything that happened. Forget that. You've talked about that. But all of a sudden you had to, prove people wrong again. I'm not that guy. Was that the frustrating part? Not just what happened, but, I am a good dude that has done it the right way and overcome a lot, and all of a sudden you had to do it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's the thing about this league, and that's the thing about life, is, you're constantly trying to – you got to show up every day. And I think it's the epitome of the NFL is I play with guys who are at the top of the game and are no longer in the league. I play with guys who you didn't even know their name, and now they're one of the faces of the league. Mm-hmm. So I think the thing for me when it came to that is, I was frustrated because I know the type of man that I am. But I also know, I'm Muslim, and it talks about in the Quran, you don't have to speak on your own behalf to defend yourself. God knows your intentions, mm-hmm. and he knew my intentions. So for anybody that felt however they feel or still might feel, that's between them and God. They got to go figure it out with God. But I know the man that I am. I know what I do on a daily basis, and I don't have to go out my way to prove that to nobody. Mm-hmm. As far as, the character of who I am. Mm-hmm. If you see me and you're around me and you get to feel that energy from me, then that's a blessing for you. Yeah, so, right. And if you don't, then, I try to – hopefully you hear from somebody who does. But at the end of the day, people are going to make their opinions good or bad, and that's just between them and God.
Yeah. I love that approach. D'Amico espoused something similar, he reiterated the start anew every year kind of approach. How does that manifest itself for you kind of in this management space that you are, but also just on the field from a player perspective on the defense? Because y'all were really good, but starting anew, it sounds weird from the outside looking in.
Yeah, I tell the guys this, and especially, guys who had success the prior year. What you do, let's say you put this much work in and you got this result.
Mm-hmm.
What you do the next year, the way the NFL is, this much work, not the same that you put in, but this much might not even be enough to require what you did last year. It might take through the roof just to get what you got last year, let alone if you're trying to excel. And that's the one thing I've learned about the league is you never figure it out.
Yeah.
It's constantly evolving. If you're constantly trying to push the envelope to be the best, you got to actually go outside of yourself and outside of your comfort zone to find growth. And that's something I even read in a book that I was reading today, this morning, and they talked about that. It's there is growth when you're uncomfortable, and you can't get comfortable. Otherwise, now you're just going to be stagnant or taking a step back.
Man, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We know that you have places to go, but it's our pleasure, and go get him with that defense,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Hopefully we can talk again soon. Sir. That's Aziz Al-Shaair.
Thank you.
Middle linebacker for your Houston Texans joining us right here at training camp 2025 for the Houston Texans. Man, I could listen to Aziz talk forever.
Come on now.
He was preaching at some point. I was we were not having a conversation. I was having a personal sermon delivered.
I was can you talk to my kids, even though they're all grown? They're all,
what do you mean, your kids? Can you talk to me?
Talk to me.
I need this. I need to get my life right.
I need to be a better person. Where's Aziz Al-Shaair?
Yeah, man. That very, very intriguing. And he's about to go talk to the assembled media, and I know that they'll get into even more there. Yeah, very, very good sit-down talk with Aziz. Appreciate you rocking with us here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL. There's a lot more things happening all around camp. Let's dig into some of those next.